Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
Okay, the festivities of the day. Samsung, Apple, we're going to dive into this, see if we can make money. We need to go to Brian Blair of Wedge Partners. Brian, good morning.
Good morning.
You are one of the odd ducks. Everybody that follows Samsung's out of Seoul, Korea, you're not. Tell us first about Samsung. Is it a cheap stock? Is it a value?
You know, it is a cheap stock, but you know what's interesting is as cheap as it might be, the way we look at stocks in the U.S., it's regarded in a different way because it doesn't trade over here. So there's really a different set of parameters that people will put on it because it does, you know, it does trade in Korea. If they would get listed over here, we could maybe look at it, you know, more in an apples to apples comparison here in the U.S.
Oh,
there's a pun. There's a pun there. Yeah.
You know. Okay, should we look just at throw them off air right now? Apples to apples. That sounds like something that's so idiotic, I would say it.
Well, right. We were doing Ides of March things this morning, so haven't missed.
We're Idesy tomorrow.
Around here, yeah. Ides of March tomorrow. Radio City Music Hall today. What are you expecting out of the big Apple-like, and that's what that's the description everybody's giving it. Apple-like.
Just it, and I'll tell you that really says it all. The fact that we are all so focused on this product launch right now really tells you the whole story. The fact that the media, analysts like myself, consumers know that this product is being announced today, that it's getting tremendous global coverage, not just U.S. coverage, but global coverage tonight, tells you the whole story. It speaks to the momentum Samsung has garnered over the last, you know, 18 months or so. That says the whole story. What am I expecting? This is going to be an evolutionary version of the Galaxy S3, the Galaxy line of Samsung's their flagship product line. The big things we're expecting are really not on the hardware side. It's going to be about a 5-inch screen or so with a very fast processor, 1.8 gigahertz, we believe, which is akin to a lot of the desktops and notebooks of a year or two ago. And the big story is going to be there's some features that are going to be on the software side. One is there's apparently something that's going to track your eye, and the device will react according to whether you're looking at it or not. Another one is we think they're going to call it floating touch, where it's going to be able to recognize where your finger is if it's just a little bit above the device without even touching it.
Okay, I know Mike wants to get in here, but Apple came out last night, their head of marketing, and said, look, it's about the core software. You're talking about little features or gimmicks if you want to be cynical. Is it about the features or gimmicks, or do we buy these toys because of the core software?
You know, I'll tell you, I actually think it's really about just the branding. I think that it's about how Samsung has branded it. These features are nice, and these features are cool. They're interesting, but it's almost like Google Glass. You know, no one owns Google Glass yet, but it's intriguing. We're interested in it. These features sound interesting. Whether or not they really get used or not is probably not the core of the argument. It's how Samsung is perceived right now. Samsung is perceived as an incredibly cool brand now, and Apple, in many ways, even though they sold 47 million units in the December quarter, is regarded by many people as not as cool as it was a year or two ago.
But here's my question. Are there any people standing in line at phone stores to buy this phone right now?
Thank you.
Okay, so the answer is that not to the extent we've seen with Apple for the last couple of years, but the day the Galaxy S4 launches, yes, we will see lines. Will people camp for a week? Probably not. I think you make a good point. It doesn't have the same kind of crazed fan base that we've seen from Apple in the past, but that's funny. That's one of the ways Samsung attacked Apple very effectively last year. They did an ad that made fun of the people waiting in line, and they made fun of the features they were waiting for, and it's one of the things that Samsung did successfully last year.
The ad was funny, but I mean, they're never going to be Apple, right? Is that the right strategy for them long term?
You know what? I agree. They won't be Apple, but I think what's maybe more important is just defining cool, and they've done a great job of defining themselves as being cool. Not just to the U.S. consumer, but to the global consumer. And so I think a lot of this game is about perception. If you look at a lot of these devices, they look pretty similar now. They provide a lot of the same features. So it's about the little ways of differentiating yourself, and a lot of that is done in the branding.
Brian, I know you don't do buy, hold, sell, but what's the appetite for Apple right now?
I'll tell you what, there really hasn't been one. I mean, it's sitting down here, I think, for that exact reason. Investors are not interested right now. I think it's going to take something meaningful on the product side to change the sentiment.
I don't disagree with that, but can there be something meaningful on the use of cash side?
Look, absolutely. There are a lot of large holders, you know, not just Greenlight, but a lot of large holders that would like to, them to see that. I'd like to see them do something with this $137 billion. I think whether it's giving it back to, you know, whether it's preferred stock or whether it's increased dividend, people want to see some use of this cash. And I think that can certainly help it in the short term. But for this stock to really work, for people to really get interested, it's going to be about innovation and growth on the product side.
Do we have to assume that there's some sort of innovation on its way, given the fact that they just aren't responding to all the pressure in terms of the cash?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, they've you know, Tim said, Tim Cook said that he's long Apple because of the innovation, and we have to assume that. You know, they've got tens of thousands of engineers constantly working to refine products, test new product categories, whether it's a TV or a watch, or whether it's some meaningful enhancements to existing product lines. We do have to assume there's innovation. The question is, when we do see new products, do investors and consumers agree?
Well, is it wrong to think about Apple in terms of Samsung? The media is making a big deal of this Samsung-Apple showdown, but is that the wrong way to think about it?
No, I think it's the right way to think about it. This is a two-horse race right now with smartphones. It's Apple versus Samsung. You know, the other players are all relatively small in comparison when you look at their quarterly units. Furthermore, they compete on the tablet side. They compete a little bit on the notebook side. So I actually think that it is the right comparison. This is the race right now. There's nobody else that's close. It's, you know, the next guy's a distant third. So,
but we all learned in school that duopolies are a good thing for both parties. What's wrong with having a global duopoly? I mean, we haven't talked in the last couple of days about Nokia, Ericsson, Microsoft. There's other players. They don't exist. Isn't a duopoly a best outcome for both these parties?
I mean, look, it probably is. As you point out, you know, the textbooks say that duopolies are fine. I think what's interesting is this space moves fast. And the fact that Apple was completely on top 18 months ago and Samsung within 2 years has come in and is neck and neck with them just shows how fast this can move. You know, we don't know where things are going to be 3 years from now. Nokia and Windows Mobile could be meaningful. Some people are making a bet that Research in Motion's new operating system is going to make a difference.
Do you agree?
No, I don't at all. I think it's going to be a short-lived thing for BlackBerry.
What about Windows?
You know, I think Windows is going to become the third OS. I think it's the growth has been slow thus far, but what's happening right now is Nokia is pushing really low-cost units into the market this calendar year, and what's going to make a real difference in emerging markets. You know, smartphones are still only about 50% of the globe's 1.5 billion units a year. So there's a big jump ball, and that jump ball is really in emerging markets, and if Nokia can push down Windows phones down under the $150 price point, they can grow volumes in those markets, and I think they will. So I think Windows Phone is going to be the third OS.
Brian, thank you so much.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013, Bloomberg LP.